Hey guys, it's Chris from the WDW Review, just reminding you to check out the Theme Park Brothers on YouTube. The Theme Park Brothers has some of the best Central Florida attraction videos. They've got videos and footage from Universal, from SeaWorld, from Legoland, and from Disney, including resorts and parks. Check them out now as they undertake the biggest challenge and change in their life as they're relocating. So again, on Twitter, they're at Theme Park Boys. On Facebook, they're the Theme Park Brothers. And their YouTube channel is the Theme Park Brothers. Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by Peter Ponacorvo. How you doing, Pete?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Pete, we're joined by an old friend. Haven't spoke with him because there's been thousands of miles since our last conversation. Michael, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing great.
And by old, Michael, I wasn't referring to your age. I was simply referring to the time of our friendship.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely understand.
And your age. So anyways. So thanks for joining us today, buddy. I wanted to talk to you about a few things. And really, you know, the gist of this is going to be I wanted to know what's going on with the Theme Park Brothers. But I've got a couple news items that I'd like to run past you guys, if you guys are willing. And give me some gut reactions here, if you would, please. So let's just imagine, Michael, you took a flight down to Orlando International Airport and you took the Magical Express to your resort because you're staying at the Royal Asante Suite in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And let's just say you didn't want to take the Magical Express back. Do you know the minivan service now will transport you and your guests back to Orlando International Airport?
I did not know that. What would the cost for such a thing be?
Well, seeing that you're staying at the Royal Asante Suite, money is no matter. But let's just say we're staying anywhere on property. This is going to cost you, so get this right. This is going to cost you $125. Okay? Mm. So, I'm sorry. I just updated myself. It's $150 per vehicle. Okay? So, here's what happens. It's available between 9 a.m. and 12 a.m. It can accommodate 6 people, including up to 3 car seats. Okay? You can use your resort airline check-in service. Do you see a scenario in which you'd use that? Give me a scenario, Pete, in which you'd use the minivan service.
How about you missed your Magical Express and they decided to shaft you and not put you on the next one?
I was kind of thinking of you right there, Pete. That might be a
I'm a little bitter still, if you can't tell.
A nice taxi alternative for you, right? So, what did that taxi fare cost you?
Man, with tip and everything, I think it was like $75-$80.
Okay, so this is roughly double what a taxi would cost you to take a minivan, right?
Okay.
Okay. Michael, what do you think, is that manageable? Is it usable? I'm sure it is because they wouldn't launch it if there wasn't a market for it. But tell me something about this.
I'm sure it is. And, you know, I was thinking about Pete's situation. That could be a way for the cast members to magically rectify the situation at that point if they could put Pete in a minivan and get him to the airport with minimal cost to them. Because I know the drivers are like they're independent contractors, right? I think. In that situation, maybe there would be a better price for them to work out and they could, you know, accommodate that goof up on their part for that. But anyway, as far as your original question, I don't see where we would ever use it because the Magical Express is there. Yep. And that's kind of the fun of it for us. But I guess, I mean, not the Tragical Express, but I guess if you know, you really didn't like to be around others on a bus situation, or, you know, I guess it would be okay. It does seem a bit steep to me if it's double the price of the option,
well,
the alternative.
So what I didn't mention to you that it, right now it's only available for club-level resort guests. So it's a targeted offering right now. So even staying at the beach club wouldn't get you access to the minivan, to MCO. You'd have to stay club level in order to get that.
It's targeted at the people that can afford $150 for a ride to the airport.
Bucks. Correct. Okay, so that's the first thing.
There is, just to chime in here real quick.
Yeah.
There, have you noticed a lot of emphasis on the club level lately?
Uh-huh.
Talking about fast passes given to club or the ability to purchase. Do you think there's an issue with club level? What do you want to say? Filling those areas, or
possibly, it could be a perk to given to fill those. It could be that that's where the guests that are willing to spend it have asked for that. So, but
that's true.
Here's what you have to remember, though. Yes, they're offering club member or club level guests these other perks. But they're all a la carte. They're making them pay for every one of them.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So it wouldn't
same,
be probably...
if they're trying to fill rooms, Nickel and Diamond people probably isn't the best way to do that. But, hey, mm-hmm. they're a multi-billion dollar company, and I'm not. So what do I know?
Okay, so let's get off that minivan. $150, that's nothing. I found it in my couch the other day. Okay, I didn't, but let's say, Michael, that you had your fabulous home in Golden Oak, all right? That's the upscale community. That's on Walt Disney World property. It's kind of back. Where's it back by, Michael?
It's back by the Port Orleans Resorts, kind of, and around Wilderness Lodge area, or Fort Wilderness area, kind of like in the middle there.
Okay. What do they call it, Flamingo Crossing area? Is that what it is over there?
It is not the really Chris and Pete and Michael are definitely not allowed area. All right.
That's I see it, but I can't get through the gate. Yeah, that sort of thing.
That's correct. All right. So right now, they just started offering memberships to a few select people, starting with Golden Oak, because honestly, they're probably the best candidates to afford it, to Club 33 in the Magic Kingdom. You aware of this? You interested in learning more?
Absolutely.
All right. Here we go. Registration costs are said to be, and this comes from www.info.com, by the way. So it's their news piece. Registration costs are said to be how much? What would you take a guess? Give me a guess, Pete. Michael, give me a guess for registration costs for Club 33.
Registration costs or membership?
No.
Yearly membership.
This specifically says registration costs. There's an annual due fee, but how much to get on the list? Think of it like a private golf club membership. How much to join? I can give you background.
I'm going to say $50,000.
Okay. Michael?
Wow. All I have to compare it to is like a Sam's Club membership. So I'm guessing I'm not going to be in the ballpark. I'll just go with $10,000.
Yeah, you guys are kind of in the middle. $25,000 to join. Okay. Annual dues are in the neighborhood of, what do you think annual dues are? How much to be a member in good standing and get Chicken Kiev? Oh, I hope Chicken Kiev's in the menu.
I was gonna say, I've got that in my freezer.
What do you
think? 35.
Okay. Michael?
Ooh, $35 is a bit steep, Pete. oh, jeez. I can't even fathom this stuff. I'll go $3,501.
$15,000.
Ah, you went the wrong way.
I went the wrong way.
Okay, so walking in the door, just signing the paper and getting that cool pen, $25,000.
$40,000.
Yeah.
$40,000.
For the first year. And then $15,000 each additional year. Now, there's no way, I think, for the average person, I would see the value in this. Though I'd be extremely jealous, and I would put it on a bucket list to get there. But, you know, I actually kind of see a market for this. And they're not creating it if there's not a market for this. And obviously it's successful, because in Disneyland they sell it. And it's like the wait list to get into.
Oh, wait, this is like trying to get season Notre Dame tickets.
Right? It's years. So, you know, you're at Golden Oak, and I understand the majority of the homes in Golden Oak are owned by corporations, and they'll let their CEOs and executives stay into it. I don't know how many people use it actually as a neighborhood-type home. It is my plan to use it as a neighborhood home. Pete, you're welcome. Michael, you're welcome to join me when I'm down there. But it's corporation-owned. So you've got your executive coming in. You want to treat him to something extremely exclusive. Not exclusive like Victoria and Albert's. We're talking like extreme. I see the value in that. And that money, that's not significant money. If you're willing to drop $2.5 million on what is for your corporation, you kind of get where I'm going there with this? What do you think?
I could see that. I mean, it's one of those things where it is something to either impress someone or I don't know. I guess at some point you get to the point to where what can I do with the money that I have?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a huge Disney fan and that's, you know, your sort of thing, I could absolutely see spending the money on it. You know, it's kind of like right now I can barely afford to go to a nice steak restaurant in town.
Okay.
But I could see the value of occasionally getting the money together and taking my family to feel that, you know, it's a special treat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at some point, the more money you have, the harder it's going to be to find those special treats. So I could see it.
Pete, what do you think?
I think I could only hope to ever have that problem.
True. And Michael, I don't think being a special, like a super Disney fan, I don't think that actually factors into the equation here. I don't know if being a super Disney fan does. I think it's nice that you allow your executives to come to Walt Disney World, but I don't think that has anything to do with being a super Disney fan. I think it deals with just being super exclusive would be more appropriate than super Disney fan at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So, anyways, let's jump off this topic here, okay? And I want to talk about Theme Park Brothers. I want to talk about your move, if you'd be willing to. So, Michael, kind of remind everybody, if you're tuning in for the first time, if you're just catching up, what's happened to you in your life recently?
And as far as talking about the direction, I hope you guys can help us figure that out in this next, like, 45 minutes or hour long, because we are trying to figure it out ourselves, but we'll try to piece it all together. We recently decided to move from Florida, Central Florida, 5-10 minutes from Walt Disney World, back to Ohio, which is where we're originally from. And that move itself took a lot of thought, and it's still to this day, we're still kind of dealing with the impact of such a move.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're just a little shell-shocked, I think, emotionally, physically, from the move itself. We just got back from Florida after having to go back down there to deal with the house and those things. We just got back 2 days ago. So we're still putting things together, but that's what's been going on. We moved from Central Florida back to Ohio.
And it's relevant. It's a relevant question to ask you because, you know, your kids were being homeschooled, but, you know, your YouTube channel, which is Theme Park Brothers, the majority of their videos are based upon Central Florida attractions as the, you know, the ad reads in front of every show, you know, kind of states. So this is an interesting change for you. Give me, like a reason or two that made this move possible, or I should have said that kind of was the fuel for this move.
I think the biggest thing was family. Being down there, we had a few close friends down in that area. And of course we had all of you guys that we could virtually have the friendships with and would come down and visit us and we could hang out. But as far as that weekly or even daily family interaction, we were missing that. And I think the more and more we went through the motions down there, we started to realize that Jordan, our oldest, he's 14. He had 9 years of being with his grandparents, his aunts, uncles, there weren't a lot of cousins at that time, but he got to be around family mm-hmm. for 9 years of his life. Jordan or Cameron was born in Florida, and he only got to see grandparents on vacations up to Ohio or when they would come down. And to be honest with you, he has a hard time, and this breaks your heart. He has a hard time distinguishing one grandparent from another, when he's describing things, and that it starts to wear on you. You think, well, these are your elders. These are the people in your family. He should be able to know one grandpa from another.
Yeah.
And it's not that he doesn't love them and doesn't, but he has a hard time putting a face with the name. So we decided that needed to change. We needed to get back up to Ohio to where we could spend time with family and then vacation again to Walt Disney World.
Okay, so let's do this. If I mention, just answer in one of two words, either say Ohio or Florida, okay? So I'm going to throw out a topic to you, and I'm going to think off the top of my head here. So if I said cost of gas, you tell me which state that you've seen is the more cost efficient, okay? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
All right, so let's do that. Let's do cost of gas.
Should be about equal.
Okay. Cost of, let's say cost of groceries.
I actually find that about equal to, not negligible. I mean, it's not something that you would be able to see.
Okay. Let's say the commute that you face right now and the traffic that you live in your life.
Oh, Ohio, much better than Florida.
Has it curbed your road rage at all, Michael?
It has, and I have a kind of a Serenity Now thing going on right now.
Excellent.
You know that doesn't work, right?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Serenity Now, and what's the word, Pete? Is it Madness Later? Insanity Later?
Yeah.
Insanity Later.
Serenity Now, Insanity Later.
Okay. Let's talk about the weather then. I mean, because you guys got used to the... So, weather, in terms of sunshine and warm or cold, what's your preference?
I prefer warm, mm-hmm. of course. I think the only thing that I will say about that is that there can be too much warm. Like, constant. Last year, the first couple years, we lived in Florida for 6 years. Mm-hmm. The first few years we were there, we had what I would call a Florida winter. We would go down to beautiful fall-like temperatures up north, and it was jacket weather and things were great. Last couple of years in Florida, I'm telling you, it was just hot all year. There may be 2 days to where it did that little, everybody makes fun of Floridians because it gets cold and they go nuts thing going on, but there was no winter. So I think that it's kind of a hard question because I hate cold. I mean, I just absolutely despise it. But I think to appreciate the warm, sometimes you do have to have the cold. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was also a contributing factor that although we prefer the weather in Florida, I mean, I would say it's like a 99% would prefer the weather in Florida. I think what we finally came to realize is that it wouldn't be so bad anymore to deal with the weather to get the other perks of being in Ohio.
Sure. How about job market? Yeah. Ohio, Florida.
For Christina, as a teacher, much easier to get a job in Florida.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that would sound about right to me.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is in Ohio, when a teacher gets a job, they stay in it. And they stay in it until they retire. Florida, there's a lot more movement, a lot more people coming in, going out. Numbers fluctuate quite a bit from people deciding to go down to Florida. So there were constantly kids being added to classrooms and school systems and taken out. So,
mm-hmm. And let me ask you one last one, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So in terms of, you said you hate the cold, but in terms of like kids enjoying things, this is going to come off kind of funny, and I don't mean it to be so. The attractions and family type functions in Florida, which are largely tourist in nature, or the Family Functions Attractions Park District's events in Ohio?
I think Florida still wins that because there's so much more. Mm-hmm. The abundance, I mean, it's just huge. Now, we're not, I guess I'm speaking for myself. I think there's half of us in the family that do appreciate the beach and things like that. But I think Central Florida itself had so much more. I mean, you have SeaWorld and Universal and even if you take away the theme parks, just the smaller minor attractions that you have around that area or things that they try to keep tourists busy doing, you don't have as much of that in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you probably have more of that in Chicago than, say, we do in Ohio, you know, to keep everybody busy and happy. But, and I'm small town Ohio, so we're not talking Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Columbus. So I guess I should specify that. When I'm talking Ohio, it's small town where we live.
Chris, is Columbus a big city?
Columbus is a big city.
It is?
Yes.
Really?
Medium.
Not coming from Chicago, but it's...
Okay, because I thought it was like Naperville.
No, no, no. It's bigger than that. They got an NHL team, Pete.
And so does Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Vegas is a little bigger than Naperville. So let me...
No.
Let's,
people-wise.
Let's talk about this, Michael. So honestly, everyone's listening to the show and they're like, this is the reaction. This is the reaction people gave you. Are you insane? Why would you ever move from Florida? I would, like, never leave the parks and never leave the resorts. That's, like, the knee-jerk reaction. So I'll give you an example in my life. So as you guys know, and some of the public knows, I'm a golf professional. I run a course in the western Chicago suburbs. And, you know, when you start off the golf industry, you know, what fuels your desire to work in the golf industry is you love to play golf. And that is true. But as I've worked now 18 years in the golf industry, you know, kind of that desire to get out and play does get lessened because it's your job. You know, would you hang out where you work, you know, on your free time? The answer is probably not. There's not the same kind of relaxation. I love playing golf. I don't nearly play it as much as I should because I work the course. So my relaxation time isn't at the course. So I'll be honest, you know what, golf in my mind, it's lessened its significance in my life, my own free time playing golf, not that I love it any less. I could see that in Florida. The knee-jerk reaction is, are you kidding me? I would never leave the parks. I'd be at Epcot every night. Now, living there is different. You know, I'm sure, you know, in your mind.
But what about this? Okay, so you don't want to hang out where you work. What if you were going to go play at a different course where you've never worked? And you have no connection between work and that particular golf course.
You know what? That's probably a relevant point, Pete. And the answer is yes. But I work so much. You know my schedule. You know.
I know.
I'm at the course. But in Michael's case, the theme parks and the resorts. That's
he
almost
made that part of his employment. Part of his job.
That's almost your job. You know. So
yeah.
I do get that, and I could. I'm not trying to validate reasons for you, but I would imagine, you know what, when you deal with that traffic on vacation, Pete, me and you were driving around the Walt Disney World Resort, and it's busy, we're like, huh, okay, we're on vacation, we'll make the best of it. I imagine every day, if you dealt with those insane crowds in I-4 and the insanity, I imagine that would wear on you. So I don't know if that fueled your decision at all, but I could see that. I really do. And I could get the 90 degrees 9 months a year, and then 70 degrees 3 months a year, too, as well. So I kind of understand that. And the draw to family, oh, I completely get that as well, too. I have two older brothers, and I've got nieces and nephews, and my mom's still around here in Chicagoland, like 3 miles from me. So I get that. I do. I completely understand that. I'm not trying to say, you know, I approve your decision. Lord knows you don't need that from me. But I get it. I completely do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what Pete was saying is actually true as well, because we love... And don't kick me here, but there came a time when we actually preferred going to Universal over Disney because of that reason. Mm-hmm. Pete was talking about if you went to play at a different golf course, would that, you know, make you more excited or, you know, and that kind of was that same situation. Here was a theme park, but it was something we didn't do constantly. It was something new to see, something new to experience. And I think that's what we're looking for in life, in general right now is to be able to experience something new instead of the same old thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And even when you look at Theme Park Brothers' YouTube channel, well, it's going to keep repeating and repeating. How many Coronado Springs construction videos can you do? I mean, it's eventually going to be up. How many walkthroughs can you do before it gets a little tired? You're going over the same grounds, doing the same things. And channel-wise, if we're talking about, you know, if we're going to focus on that aspect, as far as the channel goes, the Disney market is saturated mm-hmm. with YouTube channels. Everybody grabs their phone or their camera and goes to the parks and does their vlogs, and we're no different. What distinguishes us in that community or that market? And I think after a while you start to realize that if you're not one of, and I don't want to come off negative here, but if you're not one of the people that have established themselves, the Tim Trackers, the, you know, the Pandas, mm-hmm. the, if you're not one of those people, the Jeff Langs with Mouse Steps, number one, you're not getting invited to the events by Disney directly, which they are, ahead of time. So you're not getting that complete access to be the first one all the time with the perfect spot and the yeah. ability to do that stuff. After a while, it starts to tear on you, even though we're such a minute channel, and they have spent years and tons of time getting their craft honed.
For sure. They've earned it, too. You know, yes. you can say they've earned it. They have great stuff. Panda's got yes. really good stuff, and so does Mouse Steps. They have really good stuff. They really take care and effort. It's not accidental. So we don't want to come off that way. As a matter of fact, I watch Mouse Steps rather frequently, quite a bit. So
I literally will watch Tim Tracker every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's the fact that it's not that we are negative, because YouTube's a community. It's not a cutthroat thing. Mm-hmm. It's not competition. It's everybody loves each other's stuff, you know, and will get together as a community. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that how much time do people have for such content?
Yeah.
And where do we fit in to that?
And I know the algorithms have changed too for YouTube, Michael, as well too. I you know, not a chance to go in, but I know the algorithms have changed. So let me bring this up then to the next question then for you. So what's the state of Theme Park Brothers going forward? I guess in the back of your mind, how is the channel going to evolve? Because no longer are you going to have the time to go run over 2, 3, 4 times a week. Now, let's be honest, there's a change coming in one way or another here. What's your thought going forward?
You'll see a lot more Cedar Point.
Yeah, King's Island. Yeah.
Sorry, Michael.
And you know what? I think that our focus will shift to those kind of smaller venues, the ones that aren't getting the love. I mean, if you were to go on, I'm sure there are people covering Kings Island, people covering Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, people covering places like that. But we could then challenge ourselves and give that a different spin.
Yeah.
You know, do special episodes for people who are planning to go to those places. Give them something to watch.
Yeah.
So that will be a focus of it. But we don't want to lose the Disney. Mm-hmm. I think that by distancing ourselves a bit, we're still going to go. We still have our APs. We'll still be down there, I would venture, every 2 to 3 months, you know, constantly going back and forth. It's like second nature to us anyway.
Yeah.
To the point to where, when we do put that on Theme Park Brothers, you're going to see an excitement that hasn't been seen in a while. You're going to see an enthusiasm that isn't people who go 4 times a week. It's people who miss it, people who love it, people who will drive 900 to 1,000 miles to see it again,
mm-hmm.
More so than people who are bitter about traffic, bitter about finding the times in their lives to go do these things.
Yeah.
So I think that's the direction it will ultimately take.
Okay. So let's get people up to date. So we're just as good of friends off the air as we are on the air. We text each other quite frequently. So look at your text string, if you would, right now. What's the most recent question that I asked you, Michael? If you could. Look at your text string. Because this will kind of set up the future. And I'm counting on the big guy, too, with this. What's one of the most recent questions I asked you was mileage.
Oh, I didn't know if I was on that text string. I guess I'll have to pull out my phone now.
I know the most recent one you asked how far it was, long it would drive.
So, Pete, so imagine this scenario, right? Michael's got to get footage. He's got 3, 4, 5 days to get footage, right? Christina's working.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say the big guy and Chris, you know what? Our trip is 1,200. Let's just say our trip went east and you picked up Michael and you went down for 5, 6 days. Tell me, that would that not make a really cool spin on future Theme Park Brothers videos? You know?
That's exactly what I want it to be more like. I want it to be more of a community, more of you don't know where you're going to see us next, other than, oh, great, another video popped up with the Theme Park Brothers at Caribbean Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to drown that stuff out, but you know what? If you see us, all of a sudden we're in Iowa, what in the world are they doing in Iowa? I don't know.
And if you but see we'll them, tell you.
That's something everybody from Iowa has asked themselves at every given point in their life. What am I doing in Iowa?
Hey, Michael, let's be honest, too. If a Theme Park Brothers video appears and you have two ruggedly handsome men like Pete and myself, I mean, come on. I mean, that's a shoo-in for, like huge downloads. Right, Pete?
I would think so.
I would think so.
It'll go viral, especially if you wear your, what were you wearing, flip-flops and a mink coat in one of
those. Yes. His bathing suit flip-flops and his mink that he's going to get when he goes to the Grand Flow.
Yeah.
And by the way, to anybody in Iowa, I've been to Iowa. I apologize. It's a lovely state.
Yeah, we just lost Iowa. I'm just Pete, all right, fun. We just lost
just
Iowa.
Lost Iowa.
The four of
and they're one of the biggest, most important caucus states in the entire country.
Okay, little shout out. They got a theme park called Adventureland in Iowa. You got to visit it. Really cool.
See, that's what, and it pops up. Why are they're in Iowa to go to Adventureland?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's what we're looking for.
Really cool. Okay, so, you know, I'm glad to hear about the continuation of the channel and the fact that, you know what, it's going to have to evolve. Let's be honest, you're not there, so it has to evolve. But much like the show, you know, I don't want to speak for you, and I don't want to speak for Pete, but Pete knows this. The show, we do the show only for fun. We don't do the show as our source of income. And if we lost the passion for the show, there might become a day in the future, 1 year, 1 week, 3 years, 10 years, where Pete and I say, you know what, I got to be honest, this has become too much in our lives. We don't have that. I mean, I text the poor guy, I don't know, 30 times a week, Pete, at 6 in the morning with show ideas.
It's the 6 a.m. one that kills me, that's all.
So, but do you want to know, and this is just my spin on it, do you want to know why you have that? Why you guys have that desire and why you're fueled by it is because you want to fuel your love for Disney and you're not 10 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself wanting to edit the latest video that I took when I got home because I missed it.
Yeah.
And I think that you're going to see me wanting to edit more videos, do more things, do more podcasts, whatever, because I'm not right next door.
Yeah.
It's kind of rough to go, I'm going to go shoot video and I'm going to walk around Old Key West and then I'm going to go home and watch that same video for 3 hours and edit it.
That's true.
You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, God bless the people like Panda and Jeff Lang and those who live it day in and day out. They love it.
Yeah.
They have to. And I understand that more than anything now, that if they live down there and they do this constant, they have to love it. So go check out those channels because, by golly, they love Disney.
You know what? It's true. But let me defend you in a way. And here's something that you face that they, at least to my public knowledge, I don't know if they have, right? And this is going to seem like I'm making an excuse. You've got two young boys that are being homeschooled. You know, you have something they don't have on their plate. So, you know, we're friends, and I want to see Theme Park Brothers rise to the top of the charts. And you've known that about me for years. But you know what? Your job is to do this kind of because you're passionate about it. But it's not like you can give 24/7, 365. And even if you got invites to it, your life is not going to allow that. It wouldn't ever allow that. That's so I'm glad to know there's going to be a little more balance because between being a husband, having the kids, having the homeschool, good luck. You know, good luck doing all that. So,
yeah, I appreciate it. And yeah, I'll tell you what, I am appreciative of you guys and especially having me on today, because you can imagine a move like this just drains you. Mm-hmm. And to have an opportunity to talk to you guys and kind of get it out there and just kind of, I don't know, talk to friends for an hour is therapeutic, to say the least. So I appreciate it so much.
You've become king of the highway recently, you know?
Tell it's us been your, ridiculous.
Pete, a thousand in a U-Haul truck, and then they came back down, and then 1,000 back, all with the boys. So he's become like the highway star recently. And how long is Georgia, Michael?
It depends on which way you go, but the way we've had to go recently due to weather, because we didn't want to go through West Virginia and the mountains over that way. It's Georgia's a beast. Yeah. I mean, it seems like you're in there forever.
It's so true.
That's like when we drive through Illinois.
So true. Yeah, exactly.
It takes 5 hours to get out of our home state. That's like a fourth of the entire trip.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that stinks too, because number one, when you go to leave for vacation, when you get out of your state, that's exciting. So if it takes 5 hours, you're already drained. Mm-hmm. And then when you come home, you see your home state, you're like, yes, we're back in our state. And then it takes 5 hours to get home. Mm-hmm. That would be kind of crazy. We've only had to deal with about 2 hours.
Not to mention, Illinois is very flat. There's not much to look at for a good portion of that 5 hours.
Yeah, 100% right. Michael, let me wind this down. I want to ask you one question. This is a personal family question, if you don't mind, okay? So knowing that Cameron has only ever lived in Florida, and knowing how you guys wanted and became, you know, Floridians, who had the hardest time leaving the state? Not the first time, but after you signed the papers. Like rank the order of, like, difficulty, because I could imagine that must have been emotional. Who had the hardest time with it?
Well, I tend to compartmentalize. So I was focused on the drive, focused on the task at hand. Mm-hmm. So it took me until we went to leave the second time, like you had said, because the first time we knew we were coming back a week or two later. The second time, after the house was cleared, we had talked to the realtor, the lock was on the door, you know, sort of thing. I broke down at that point. So it probably took me the longest. Mm-hmm. Because Jordan and Christina both did the first time we left. So it hit them much sooner. Neither one of them were driving a 26-foot Penske truck up the road. Yeah. So I was just focused on that. But I think if I had to rank it in order, Christina's overall more emotional than I am. So probably her, then Jordan, then me, and then Cameron's just oblivious.
Yeah.
He's five. He doesn't, for the longest time, he didn't even understand that we weren't living both places. So I think he understands it now. But yeah, I think that's the order I would put it in. It was really rough the second time for me. And on top of which, I don't know if you watch This Is Us. Do you watch that show at all?
No,
neither one of you.
I have not. I've been watching Mindhunters recently. Mindhunter.
No wussies like me watching it with wife. Anyway.
I'm not home.
Okay. But I know the gist of it because I see posts of it every day on Facebook, and people with, like, sad faces and broken hearts and tears and stuff like that, you know, so.
Yeah, with no spoilers or anything, there's just something that had to do with the house on the last episode, which happened to be, like, the night before we were leaving. That house, which is really the only place that Cameron has ever known. Mm-hmm. And everything. And, yeah, it just, like, got me overly emotional then, so it didn't really help.
Yeah.
So thanks to the universe for kicking you while you're down with right. things like that.
Right. Epic timing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the way up, we're listening to music, and the Happily Ever After theme music came on from Happily Ever After, and it's talking about a new journey and a new beginning, and and I'm like, I'm sobbing like in the car driving up 75. So.
Hey, I mentioned this before. I actually mentioned this on Christina. Let me at least give you credit for this. And, you know, I admire everything you're doing. You take bold steps with your family in ways that most of us, you know, fantasize about, but can't actually do it. So when we first talked to you back, I don't know, show whenever that was, 20 or whatever, but the first time we talked about Theme Park Brothers and you moving down there, you know, I had given you credit by saying, you know, that's just a huge step to leave with your wife pregnant and a little one, and you're going down to Florida. But the fact is, you know, people are afraid of changing their lives, and you guys seem to not only, like, I mean, you hit it on with full speed. So you guys do things that most of us talk about and most of us write about and most of us, you know, imagine ourselves. You do it. So I give you credit for just being having these bold steps. Like I told Christina, I love following you guys. You guys are adventurous in ways that I don't have right now, and I appreciate watching it.
Well, we appreciate it, because a lot of times we feel extremely irresponsible when we do that, because I think that's ultimately what keeps people from making decisions like that, is that they want that stability and they need that, and that's the responsible thing to do. Mm-hmm. Me and Christina are more rash, as far as we know we only have one life to live and we don't know how much longer we're going to be here. So like when we lived in Ohio and we dreamed of being in Florida, we could sit there and dream about it and just kill ourselves over it. Or we could just take the chance and do it. And we just took that leap and did it. And then that way, when we got down there, I mean, we had an amazing time down there. But when that stops and it starts pushing you a different direction, and that's why we said we may not ever be homeowners again, because we have a tendency to not want to stay anywhere. Jordan called us nomads yesterday. Because we talked about all the houses he's lived in. When I grew up, we lived in two houses my entire life. We lived in one until I was 14, then we moved to another. Jordan has lived in probably 10 different places, if not more, in his 14 years. Hmm. And I know that to some that would come off extremely irresponsible. And talk about uprooting, you know, your children and making them change and do these things. But we do try to do things to limit the effect on the boys. That's what they're homeschooled. As far as schooling goes, they felt nothing with the move, because they still are in the same, you know, system they were going through before. And secondly, we think that giving them experiences is much more important in life than giving them material things, and things of that nature. So I think that's what we try to focus on. And we know that if we stay in one place for too long, that things start to get a little monotonous and repetitive. That's a little repetitive, isn't it? So I think that's it, to see where we're coming from with that. Because I could see people looking at it and going, that is just, I can't believe they would do that. It's almost child abuse. I've even heard that before. It's almost child abuse to make these kids move.
Yeah, Pete. You know, Pete, what are you thinking? You got an opinion?
And it's, you know, I was the same way. I lived in the same house for the majority of my adolescent years, mm-hmm. and I moved the summer in between my freshman year and sophomore year of high school. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it was like a 6-mile move. But it was a completely different school system. It was like getting over to my old friends. There was a process to do that at that point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it helped make the person I am. Doing different things and being different places, that's not child abuse. That's the ability. That's giving those kids the ability to be adaptive and not be so set in one thing, in one, like, you know, like, I do this every morning and never have any change in their lives. If something happens later in life where there is a major change in their life, your kids are going to be able to deal with it way better than somebody that's been like, I get up at 8 a.m., I have breakfast at 8:30, I get out to the bus at 9 o'clock, and it's, they've had that same regimen their entire life. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that they have, like, breaks when things go wrong. They can't handle it.
Yeah. hey, Michael, I don't ever want to hear you use that word child abuse again, because you know what?
There's
two things. First off, you know what? You don't need me to tell you this. You're the dad. You decide what's best for your kids. What everyone else says, excuse me, but you know what? I'm deciding. Second off, the Malik kids, my kids, though we've lived in Chicagoland, they've went to 4 different schools at this point. And they had a different school for, let's just say, their kindergarten, their preschool years, and they went to a Catholic school, and they went to Chicago Public School, and now they're in a different public school over in Park Ridge, where we live. So, you know what I've raised? I've raised my kids to be able to go and adjust, make friends quickly. They're responsible on their own, you know? So, what you think and what people have said to you is could be a negative. It's a strength. Every teacher report I ever get back from my kids tells me the exact same thing. Your kids are well-behaved. They're very polite. They're pleasant to have in class. You want to know why that is? Because they're used to having to adjust to change in their life. It might not have been my intention to do that, but that was the end result. Not that I'm trying to give a parent class here. Believe me, if you looked at me, I'd probably be, you know, the least qualified person to do that. But you're doing great. You're doing what you're thinking you have for a kid, your kids. That's all you can ever do. And like I said before, I'll circle this around. I love the big, bold steps. You know what? Those are awesome. I do want to tell people, Michael is not sick. Michael is not terminal. I don't expect him to pass away anytime soon. Correct, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I hope
I'm just
not
joking.
Too.
I'm just joking.
It's like a big... This is the big answer and reveal, folks.
Yeah. Michael's got...
Please. Yeah. He has stage 7 brain cancer.
Yeah, terminal facial
hair.
Only
4, folks. He actually passed away 3 weeks ago, and he just doesn't know yet.
Yeah. So, no. So... hang on, you know what, so, I just want to say, I'll give you a shout out there. That was a little rambling for the last few minutes here, but we applaud you for doing that. We applaud you for taking those steps. So anyways, hey, follow Theme Park Brothers on YouTube and follow them on Facebook and on Twitter as well too. So this is the honest to God truth. So Michael's a friend of mine. Michael's a friend of Peter's, right? We became friends a while ago through social media. And Panda's got great stuff. Mouse Steps has got great stuff. Tim Trekker's got great stuff. There's a lot of good stuff on YouTube. But I've told you this, your stuff is just as good. The sound quality, the video quality, and the time you spent is just as good. So it's going to be diversified, but there will be a continuance of Disney on it. So again, follow Theme Park Brothers. I was going to say, give us your social media addresses. I just did it for you, buddy. I just took care of it for you.
I appreciate it. And I will tell you guys, and this is just a little sneak peek, Christina has a project. Actually, she's spearheading it, but we're going to work together on it because it's always been our thing to want to work together in some capacity, you know, through the rest of our lives. We already are partners in crime, you know, in life. So we really want to work together on something professionally. But we have something that she's kind of spearheading. It's in its infancy, but we're excited to kind of follow that path as well. And it's a little less theme park centric, a little more travel centric. So, you know, I've always said it's kind of ironic that we're so into theme parks considering 3 of us won't even ride a roller coaster. You know, so it's kind of strange to have that whole thing going on. We love the theme aspect of it. But I think that what we're going to focus more on with this project coming up is travel. More about education and travel, more about learning things about the areas that you're traveling to, how anywhere that you travel can have an element, even our hometown that we live in now, can have an entertaining theme and attraction to it. Whether you know it or not, you just have to dig down and find it.
Pretty cool.
So,
hey,
yeah, I forgot about that. None of them ride roller coasters, so I guess... Folks, there is not going to be a lot of Cedar Point coming up on the Theme Park Brothers because that's pretty much all Cedar Point's got.
Yeah, it'll be Christina at Cedar Point.
Pete, you know what go viral? Follow me here. Pete and Chris.
You're not getting me on a roller coaster.
Loving theme park rides and Michael completely terrified with a video camera turned around and seeing his facial expressions. I say like the Tower of Terror with Michael. What do you think?
There you go.
Right? Viral.
That would be terminal.
Screaming right like a little girl.
That would be the end of Michael.
All right.
Because I don't think my heart could take it. That's all I'm saying.
You'd be all right.
All right.
They've got AEDs at the bottom. You'd be fine.
And you know how to use them.
And so. He knows how to use them. You're good. All right, so let's wind this up for my friends. Michael, I would say, Michael, tell us how to reach you, but I did. Theme Park Boys on Twitter, Theme Park Brothers on Facebook, Theme Park Brothers on YouTube. Your Twitter handle is Grumpy, what is it?
It's at Grumpy23. And, okay. You know, if you want to, if you're connecting with me personally, I am Michael Black 2396 on Facebook. I don't get very many friend requests. I don't know why, but request me. I'll add you. So maybe it's because I'm always pushing the boys. I don't know. Or the YouTube channel.
Cool. All right. And if you got a question for Pete, myself, or for Stacy, who is away this weekend, you know what? Best way to get a hold of us is on the WDW Review Facebook page. So again, for my buddy Peter, for my buddy Michael, thank you for listening and have a great day.
See ya.
See ya, everybody.